I kind of dismissed it, like, God, what does that mean, those pretenders, you know? He goes, remember when you were pretending and I had to keep you alive to save you? And I went, whoa, what do you mean, Lord? You were pretending to be a man. You were pretending to be somebody. And you were pretending that you were going to do some certain things the right way. But really, in your heart, you had already planned to do the wrong thing. You ever been there? You were putting out a pretense like, hey, I'm gonna do this right. Knowing in your heart, I ain't doing it right. I ain't going to do it right. I'm going to do it my way. But God, right? I could give you the backstory. Most of y'all know this already. Paul gets alone with God. An angel comes down and says, don't worry. Everybody on the ship is going to live, right? Paul already got ahead of it. He already seen himself on the island. Amen? God had already told him, not only are you going to survive this, but you're going somewhere else. Amen? Golly, I'm trying to preach to you a little bit right there that God has already given us a promise that we are going to land on the shores of heaven. Amen? And we sometimes fret and worry and get mad and frustrated and aggravated and deal in fear and anxiety, and yet we got great promises from God. But here's where we start in verse 30, and I'm just going to give it to you like God gave it to me, and I hope it helps you, because it's already been helping me, but I hope this helps you a great deal. If it doesn't do anything else tonight but take you back to the place where God kept you alive when your plan should have destroyed you, you should shout a little bit on the inside. I'd like it for the outside, but that probably is a little overboard. But if you're sitting in here tonight and you're young in your faith, or you're not sure about your faith, you're going to find this. And man, it's like when the searchlight comes and lands on you. This will be good. In verse 30 it says, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as they would have cast an anchor out of the foreship, and Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except they abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. I've been reading this story. I've been preaching this message for many, many years. First time I've ever seen this. Those guys got together and they said, you know what? These are the most experienced sailors on the boat, probably. This thing's going down. Let's get out of this. I got a plan. I got a vessel. We'll let it down, act like we're going to go and set anchor, but we're going to go. Amen? But then Paul, the preacher who's been talking to God, these guys don't care who he's been talking to. You got to stay, I hope y'all get this, you got to stay on the ship. Do you know the shipmen didn't cut the ropes? The soldiers did. Golly, guys, let's just pretend like we know each other really well and intimately in here. Listen to this. These guys were standing there holding on to their plan. All they had to do is get down to the boat, and they're out of the sinking ship. Hold on. And all of a sudden, the soldier walks over, takes it out of their hand, and cuts it off. I don't know about you, but I can see them watching the little boat just go off into the darkness. There goes my life that I had planned out. And that was a good one, or so we thought. Amen? Or so we thought. And I wrote this down as I was getting ready for this. Those are the great pretenders. And I'm sorry, ladies, I don't know how to put this in any other way. Dudes know how to pretend. I don't know what women do. Y'all fill in that blank. Maybe y'all do know how to pretend. I don't know. I would say so. But dudes know how to pretend to work. They know how to pretend like a boss. They know how to pretend like a husband, a leader, a dad, a worker, a protector. They can even protect. They can also pretend to be tough guys. Amen? But most of the time, we're just boys who grew up with boy problems and ended up being men with those same problems. We're just pretending. We're pretending we got the answers. We're pretending we got it right. We're pretending we got it all together. We're acting tough. We're acting bad. I've seen people in the most frustrating situations, and you go, "Do you know what you're doing?" "Yeah, just leave me alone." They don't know. Let's rewind that. Rewind it. Watch this right here. I've been in a situation where I didn't know what I was doing. I was wrecking the situation, and somebody else asked, and I said, "Mind your own business. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I'll fake it till I make it. I'll just pretend like I know what I'm doing. I'll lead my wife and kids and family and friends and coworkers and everybody that's under me. I'll lead them on down too. But guess what God does? Cuts the ropes. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 reads like this. Did somebody go get that? All right, read that out loud for me. As I cough. Ephesians 2, verse 19. So you know what God does? He takes you from a great pretender and he puts you in the family of God. You're no longer a faker. You're no longer a pretender. You can be a boss who's a godly boss. You can be a leader who's a godly leader. You can be a husband who's a godly husband. You can do all these things. And you know what? You can even be a tough guy in Christ Jesus. You can. The manliest men on the face of this planet have been godly men. Because they know when to be tough, but then they know how to be weak in front of God. They know how to bend and bow to God and stand against the worst enemies of this world. I'm glad God takes us from being fakers and makes us the real deal. I'm glad when God comes on board, He gives you an identity in Christ Jesus. And everywhere you're weak and falling, He becomes strength. And everything that you're strength and strong in, He accentuates that and makes it better. And you give Him all the glory in it. It's amazing. I'm glad God comes on the scene. Nobody deserved that. We can praise God. We come in here. Oh, God, thank you for saving me, giving me that salvation, giving me that mansion in glory. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my wealth. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my food. How about this one? Thank you for saving me from me. Thank you for saving me from my dumb self and my stupid plans. When I put an identity on who I was, and you kept pulling that off and saying, "No, that ain't you." Golly, anybody ever done that one? This is who I am. This is who I am. And God says, "That don't fit. This is who you are. This is who I've made you to be. A family member of Christ." That's who He's ultimately trying to get these shipmen to be, or the family of Christ. Some of y'all going to read this scripture and go, did they get saved? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue if they got saved. All I know is God gave them the opportunity to keep breathing when they shouldn't have been breathing. Anybody else in here got that one before? God just kept you breathing when you shouldn't be breathing? When your plan, what would happen is if you would have jumped down into that other vessel and took off, you would have died. That's what Paul got from the Word of God. If you go, you will die. If you stay, you will live. And God orchestrated. I might stay right there for a little while. God orchestrated. Gets the soldiers. The soldiers don't care if the shipmen live or die. They're just a vessel in the hand of God. Some of y'all might want to write this down. God will use anybody, everybody, and every situation to get you where you need to be. To ultimately give you the opportunity to either get saved or reject His salvation. Goodness, I love this. I could just see the soldiers. The one thing about great about being a soldier, if you ever, they don't care about your feelings. They don't care about what you think. They just said, you know what? We got to keep everybody on the boat to live. That's got to go. Deal with it. Good Lord, that's good. You see them guys, man. The soldiers are like, hey, we're living. Living in a storm, but we're living. Amen. Somebody look this verse up for me. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And part of this, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to trust in their own vessel. They wanted to trust in their own vessel. They wanted to trust in their own idea. They wanted to trust in their strength, their ability, their plan, their idea. Their man, if I get into this, I can go somewhere. Amen? My own wisdom, my own strength, my own family, my family. Man, we lifted ourselves up by our bootstraps. Great. Who gave you the bootstraps? Right? God. Who gave you the ability to do that? God, right? These guys were shipmen, and they could see it. They looked plainly. These people are going down. There's no future on this boat. There's many a times I can look in times of things with God. The world is a storm, and it looks like the ship is going under. Man, I need to get off of this. I need to get out of this. I need to get on with this. But God says, amen. What's that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say?
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
When that plan takes off, and you're standing there in God's plan, stop worrying about what your plan, what it would have done, what it would have, could have been, what it should, your own understanding of how, just say, it's gone. It's gone. That ship has sailed. Amen? What's the last part of that verse? It says, lean not on your understanding, but what's that last part? Man, guys, listen, I'm talking to you. It's Wednesday night crowd. I know some of y'all been saved for years and years and years. Why don't you ever once in a while acknowledge of when He sent that vessel, your old plan, your old way, He sent it away and you hated watching it go? Oh, my old way of worship, my old way of singing, my old way of preaching, my old way of church, look, there it goes. My own salvation, my own life plan. I'm going to meet somebody at this time, get married by this time, have this kind of stuff in my life. This is what's going to happen. God says, if you go that way, you won't have a chance to get saved. You can have all that stuff, and you won't get saved, you'll die. That life wasn't for you. If you're sitting here this evening, is what I'm saying, and you're born again in Christ Jesus, you should recognize and acknowledge God for everything He did to get you there. You should sit here and go, thank God. Because I'm being real with you tonight. There were some things that God took out of my life early that I really was upset about. I kind of liked some of the stuff. I really identified in some of those things. I would have liked to had the chance. You don't know my skills. I could have got in that boat and I would have died. Some of y'all say, I want you to get this. God told them, if you don't stay in this boat, you're going to die. If you don't get in Christ Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. Let that go. And if you have let it go and you are sitting here saved and you've been saved for a long time, some of you, everyone's like, man, thank you, God, for cutting the vessels loose. My old plans, my old life, my old ways. And even when I pouted on you, and even when I got mad at you and said things like, I'm mad at you, You might want to write this down. I know most of you don't write stuff down, but it's all right. God can handle you being mad at him. He's a big God. If you're a daddy in here, has your kids ever been mad at you? I sleep good. Amen? I'm mad at him. Let me do what I want to do. I go right in there and go to bed. You know why? Because I'm the dad. I know what their behavior is. I know what they can handle. I know what they need to be doing. I know what they have done. Praise God, they can be mad. But eventually, if you're a good enough dad and you've done the right thing, they're going to roll back around eventually and say, thanks, Dad. Because they were some other idiots who got to go. And they couldn't handle it. They wasn't ready. Their attitude was bad. And it destroyed them. Amen? Thank you, Dad, for cutting those old paths that I thought was going to be great. Somebody go get Isaiah 55:11, and while somebody else is doing that, go to Hebrews 4:12. This is my favorite part right here. The man of God called out my plan as if it knew me. Hey, man, you ever been there? Paul stood up on there. They, in their heart, they had been reasoning in their heart, like, oh, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to slip down in here, and we're going to take out. That's what we're going to do. They don't know about it. Nobody knows I'm going to go out drinking. Nobody else is going to know I'm going to go out here and be with this girl. Nobody knows I'm going to go out here and be with this guy. Nobody knows that I'm in the plan. Nobody but God. Come to church, and it's like God gave him the blueprint to your plan. And you're sitting here going, God, I hate church. I hate the preacher. I hate everybody because they're exposing my heart. Amen? And as preachers and teachers, I hope there's a few preachers and teachers in here. When you teach something, you feel awful because it didn't go out the way you thought it would go out. It didn't land where you thought it was going to land. You didn't get no response. And you're sitting there going, I must have messed it up. But no, you didn't mess it up. You was just reading somebody's blueprint and their plan. And they're sitting there mad at you and God for fooling the plan. They can't come up and say hallelujah and amen yet because, praise God, they still in plan mode. I know I was still, I remember going to church. I'm like, God, my dad has told this man everything. They went and told him. But then I had to get back in my mind and go, how'd they know? I've got a leak in the camp. Amen. Somebody's telling the information, but the only person that's planning, it's me. Somebody give me that Isaiah 55:11. If that's right, 55:11. Yeah. Praise God. If God gives you a word to give to somebody, let that thing roll. Let it go. Amen. Say it. Teach it. Explain it. Some of you dads, some of you grandfathers, some of you mothers, some of you grandmothers, if God's placed it on your heart to tell somebody something, praise God, share it with them. And even if they snarl their nose, get mad, pack their stuff, go somewhere else, get upset, call your names, just remind yourself, the Word of God will not go out void. It will have its perfect work in their lives. If God told you to do it and you're obedient, let that ride. Let it go. Amen? Just let that go. Let them say, all right. Hey, it's been so many times that I've left this church, left this pulpit, left many a pulpit and said, man, I messed it up. I've done it wrong. Only to come to find out 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later, somebody, this is the best message you ever preached. It changed my life when you said this. And I can go back and go, that's the day when I thought it was a lead balloon. Amen? If you'll be obedient, you don't need the response. All you need to do is the obedience part. We don't get anything out of what people do with it or their attitude after they hear it. Here, you want another one? Give me that Hebrews 11:12. This is nice. Did I say 4:12? Well, read 4:12. Yes.
Powerful,
Ain't that good? I wrote this down there in this part to add to that. I don't know where my old life is anymore. God, just like that word of God, is like a two-edged sword. It goes in there and cuts. And it cuts in that spiritual place that no other words, no other book, nothing else can do that but the Word of God. And it goes in there in those thoughts. It goes in there where the spiritual man is, and it cuts. Whoosh. And old plans and old lives drop off, and you're sitting there going, how did that happen? How did that go that way? Amen? I don't know where my old life is, and I don't care where it's at. Amen? I don't care. Amen? It's cast as far as the east is from the west. And I am glad when I heard the word and it came in and cut and it done what it was supposed to do. Praise God, I was glad that that happened. That's another reason. Listen, when God's word goes out correctly, it is a deep cutting source. So don't sit there and think you're going to get a surface reaction. If you share the gospel with somebody who's lost, don't worry about the surface reaction, because there's something going on the deep inside. Let it work. Let it work. Amen. Oh, this is good. I have wanted to use this verse the whole time I've been in ministry and never found a way I could do it. But here we stand on a Wednesday night. Should have saved it for a Sunday. Watch this right here. I am alive because Jesus made a way. Everybody go to Ecclesiastes 9:4. I'm going to go with you. Don't get over there real quick. Read it for me, you Bible speedsters. Somebody's going to do it. I feel it in my bones. Somebody's going to be a speedster and get there before I do, because I don't even know where Ecclesiastes is. It should be right there. There it is. Has somebody got it already? Oh, Ecclesiastes 9, I got it. I won. Ecclesiastes 9:4. Praise God, when I started this message, I wasn't telling you that I told you, did these guys get saved? I don't know. I'd like to tell you they did. I don't know. I don't know who's saved, who's not, most of the time. You can tell by people's fruits and what God's doing in their life most of the time, but some people you don't know. On a Sunday morning crowd, you rarely know. Amen? You never know who's going to show up. Watch this right here. You know what God did? He done one of the sweetest things you can do. Just keep somebody alive. You keep them alive long enough to hear the word. Here's my rule about church here. They've been people over the years come, and they'll come hang out, and they'll come Sunday, and they'll come the next Sunday, and people come to me and say, I don't know if old sister so-and-so, I don't know if old brother so-and-so is saved. Here's what I always say. If they keep coming, they're going to get saved. They're going to have to get out. One of my favorite ones is when there's an old young boy, and he likes a young girl, and he keeps coming. That happens. And they won't come to church to see her, and they get more than they bargained for. They get a savior instead of a girlfriend. If they're blessed, they get a savior and a girlfriend. Amen. All the dads in here are tightening up right there, but I don't know about that. But watch this right here. One of the sweetest things in the scriptures I'd ever seen. I've always wanted to use this scripture, but I never got a chance. But here we are, Ecclesiastes 9:4. And this is what here's what I wrote. I'll read it to you again. I'm alive because Jesus made a way. For them shipmen, God cut the plan away and gave them an opportunity. Listen right here. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Man, I've been wanting to use that verse. I love lions. And man, if you know that, you know it. But praise God, you know what it said right there? You get the old mangiest, stinkiest, rottenest little old dog. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. You know, little old stupid dog. I mean, you just look at it and go, man, somebody needs to put that thing down. Mangy, ratty, nobody feeding it, always in front of your car. Let's go to one, always out in the road, always in the way. And if you see, always, man, if somebody's going to hit that dog, if they don't get it out of the road. Hey, man, you know what the Bible says about that? a living dog, that old mangy, rotten old dog, prancing around looking as stupid as it does, is better than a dead lion. They some great men and great women who died lost. But you know what God did? God took several shipmen who were just old scroungy dog type people. He said, I'll give you a little bit more time. Get the first part of the verse. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Them boys, I don't know if they got saved, but guess what they had? Hope. You know what they had after that boat? After that boat went away, their vessel that would sail the seas, you know what? You know what the Bible says? A few minutes later, the ship started falling apart, and I guarantee you, some of them shipmen could swim. And maybe some of them couldn't. Some of them might have got injured. And they came in on parts of the ship. And I'll guarantee you, friend, they were sitting here going like this. We had a sound boat in our grasp. And we've had to come in swimming and hanging on to broken pieces of the ship. Well, as they stood on the Isle of Malta, they probably looked at each other and said, you know what, though? We're still alive. And you know what happened after that? They got to see Paul share his testimony, heal a man, share the gospel, get on another boat, and go preach to other people. And I guarantee you, along the way, whether they got saved or not, they can honestly say, along the way, we gained hope and we had an opportunity because God foiled our plan. We're standing here tonight on a Wednesday night. Because God foiled your plan and gave you hope. And you were that living dog and not that dead lion. And one day, he revealed himself to you. And you are going to walk into the portals of glory one day. And you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Just like the shipman on that boat. When you cut the lines and I seen my old life going away, I thought that was the worst day of my life. But God, oh God, that was the best. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Let's all stand. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Did you get something out of the message?